for us to steward until his return. He did not understand that the nobleman had given him spending power. That's what the life of Jesus is. It has nothing to do with the success motifs of a materialistic evangelicalism. It's not that kind of success or spending power I'm talking about. It's the spending of the life of Jesus and being spent until it hurts, because that's how Jesus did it, until it hurt. And that's why we celebrate this communion this morning. And equally, it is our folly when we fail to trust the power that is within us and let it loose to work and reproduce. And Jesus says, containment, concealment, confinement will be exposed and it'll be judged. And the tragedy is, we already experience that judgment in our present life, in the snares that it keeps us bound in. It also seems to me here, though I don't want to prolong the point, that there is an implicit warning against idleness and against sloth, against those who give up too easily. Proverbs 20 verse 4 talks about the man who won't plow because it's cold, who won't persevere in difficulties, soon wearies, no delight in labor, neglect, makes excuses. Intentions, always good intentions, but never any execution. And there's a heavy emphasis in the New Testament on our discipline and on our diligence in the work of the Lord. And the issue never was what Stuart McAlpine felt like doing, but Stuart McAlpine has to come to the Lord of the church and say, what would you have me do, Lord? Which is a question that I put to you at this early stage of 1991, to ask it and to expect an answer. As I said at the beginning, it's not a pleasant parable. Its ending is meant to jolt us. Jesus is saying that those of us in the kingdom will be judged according to the demonstration of our faithfulness. And the point is rubbed home in the way that Jesus has the nobleman give these rewards on the basis of fulfilled responsibility. 5 talents, 5 cities. And in a way, strangely, it occurred to me as I was preparing for the service today that there's a strange relationship with the consecration that took place before we took communion. Because the Bible teaches that you cannot have the expectation to exercise godly authority where there has been no evidence of your accountability before him. You can't lead, the Bible says, if you don't labor. The Bible has no recognition of armchair leadership. It's about towels, not thrones. And our armchairs become our own thrones. Behold, says Jesus, in the very final discourse of the Bible, the end of Revelation 22, behold, I am coming soon. And exactly the point Jesus is making here is repeated. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Now, I trust you understand, I'm not saying anything about generating a bunch of dead works to somehow gain your salvation. I'm talking about those who Jesus is acknowledging as servants of the kingdom, who understand the grace that has brought them into the kingdom. But a warning that says, don't delay your involvement and your commitment and your obedience. Let me close. You get the picture, you get the point. Let me get personal for 1 minute. It's a parable about trade, I said. So the question is raised, what kind of trader am I? Maybe I can use the image of the stock trader in closing. There are 2 things a good stock trader needs to know. They need to know their client, and they need to know the commodities. Your client is not the church. It's not your home group. It's not even the watching non-Christian world. Jesus says in this parable, the client is God himself. Therefore, know him. Don't misjudge him. Don't misread him. Yes, he is demanding, but no, he is not hard. Yes, he is commanding, but no, he's not callous. Know your stock. I'm not talking about the things that are perishable like silver and gold, but imperishable. How are we using what he has given? How are you using his forgiveness? How are you dispensing it to those who need it? And some people here may have lists longer than others. How are you using the faith that is his gift?
How are you using the love which constrains us to do something? What is your use of his acceptance, of the assurance of your salvation, of your power to overcome? What is your estimation of the worth of these things, or of the weight of these things? And my plea to you from the bottom of my heart is very simple. Dear saint, trust his investment in you and the investment that you will make spiritually in others. And we're not talking about get rich quick. We're not talking about a spirituality by osmosis that you've got it all worked out because you happen to choose to plug into a particular teaching or a particular theme. We're talking about the consistent, dogged, joyful obedience that powerfully, overcomingly works out the life of Jesus until he returns. And as the prophets say, behold, he is even at the door. Patience for profit and for produce. Therefore, the word of the Lord to us, 1991, is to keep a close account of the rate of your spiritual exchange, its value, and the state of it as you find your heart on this particular morning. Don't be consumed in these days with simply minding your own business. The rewards you get will be all rewards, but unfortunately they're perishable. Jesus told a story, which I've dealt with in another context, the parable of the banquet, where he warned against those who didn't come to the banquet because they bought a field or bought oxen or married a wife. And the warning of the Lord here is exactly the same. Don't allow your future possibilities or your present necessities or your past commitments to be an obstacle that stop you doing the will of the Lord today while it is today. And I want to tell you, you're probably gathering there's an urgency in me the last few weeks. Because I want to think, it's not that you have not heard, and we should present the gospel in a way that nobody can leave it, or leave a service, or allow a Sunday to pass, and then yet another grinding week to begin, not knowing that they can be right with God, and they can begin a week which will reproduce resourcefully for the kingdom of God, creatively, imaginatively, blessedly, productively. And let me tell you something. You and I can't outgive God. And that's the ridiculous thing about it. And do you know the very next frightening story about the division of the sheep and the goats? It's about somebody who gives a cup of water. What was the return for what seems a measly cup of water? The entire inheritance. Welcome into the kingdom of God. There's no relationship at all between the value of a cup of water and what God offers. You cannot outgive God. His blessing will always outrun your obedience. May I say that this is not just a personal issue. I believe it's a corporate issue for Christ our Shepherd Church. What are our resources in God? What are our gifts? What are our available man hours? You don't reap if you don't sow. What will we as a church present to the returning Lord? And I say this to the deacons and the elders and everyone else. I pray to God it's more than a balanced budget. We need to balance our budget. But as we've always said in Christ our Shepherd Church, it's simply a statement and a statement of faith, but it's a longing that God will knock the sides and bottoms of it apart, that we might do the works of the Lord while it is still today. All steps of faith risk are founded on the conviction, not of what's in the bank, but who our God is, who we are working for, and the inestimable value of his investment in us, namely the life of Jesus. What's happening to our investment? Is it discipline or is it dissipating? Oh yes, there are rewards. Hey, well done. And that brilliant line, enter into my joy. What's the bottom line? The bottom line is disturbing. You can infer from this parable that if we choose to live our lives in indulgent passivity, the end result in kingdom terms will be redundancy. The third man is redundant and bankrupt. But if we choose to live our lives in godly, holy, spirit-led activity to the glory of God, God will give you even more responsibility. So don't be surprised at it. So the parable closes with some implicit questions. Are we candidates for reward or reproof? Is our future authority or austerity? Is it commendation or condemnation? Do we anticipate joy or do we fear judgment? Labor while it is day, for the night comes. What's your forecast for growth for 1991? What's the state of your spiritual portfolio? What's the state of the spiritual market? Is it spiritually bullish? What is it? I can't answer that question for you. You have to answer that question before the Lord. I'd ask you to just listen as I close by reading Scripture and let the Word have its perfect work and speak to our hearts. You may want to close your eyes so that you can really concentrate on what's being said as I read the Word of the Lord. Romans chapter 12. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. In the words of the apostle in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train, and he gave gifts to men. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. And finally, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Father, we've listened in recent weeks to the words of your Son. We want you to know we believe what he says about that which does not profit. We've heard over years your exhortations, Lord Jesus, to be watchful. We confess we've gone around myopically. For some of us, Lord, it may be that we feel spiritually the day is far spent, but I thank you, Lord, for those other things you taught about your grace and your ability to redeem time lost, to redeem land that the locusts have eaten. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that it was your pleasure and your delight and your right to give the same wage to the worker that turned up at the 11th hour as to those who labored all day. And I pray, Lord, if it's for one person in this church today, that they will hear your voice and harden not their hearts while it is today. And believe, Lord Jesus, that all of your life and all of your resources are available to them. And that when they know what it is to be free through confession of sin, that you redeem in an instant, and that you can give us the productivity that we long for, that we've been denied all our life. and you treat it like a brand new start. Give hearts the brand new start, Lord, I pray. And I pray that you will take from us any view of you that is less than you, that you will cause us to run from it and to hate it, that we do not stand in a position, Lord, where we're accusing you and making excuses when your love and grace has said, start today to do what I've told you to do. Lord, I believe there are people here this morning who you have a call of you on their life and have not begun to fulfill their ministry. Lord, I want to speak a word of release this morning to the grace that is within them. And I pray, O Lord, that 1991 will be a year marked by some holy achievement in every life. Will you deliver every member of this church from comparing themselves with another? We're not out to be the top of the league, Lord Jesus. We're not out to compete with each other. Oh, Lord, no one compares with thee. Lord, will you just give us the desire? I pray for my own life, Lord. Lord, Lord, let there be a return. Just more, Lord, than I have now. And we all pray that prayer with expectation. Lord, if you need to put your holy fear in it, then do it, O Lord. Some of us need that. But I pray, Lord, that you'll tenderize us by your loving grace. Lead kindly, Shepherd. Lead us. Your reward is with you. We seek not the reward. We seek thee. Jesus, 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 your love has melted our heart. And I thank you at the close of the service as we celebrate it, that you took the risk, that you came down. No guarantees. You obeyed the Father, but he proved himself to you, Jesus, for you sit now at the right hand of the Father. Help us to run with patience this week the race that is before us, with a conviction that there are works prepared for us to do. In Jesus' name.
Raised us, made us alive together with Christ. Let's stand as we praise him.
He has raised us, made us alive together with Christ. He has raised us, made us sit with him in Christ. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, has prepared for us that we should walk in them, which God has prepared for us that we should walk in them. He has raised us, made us alive together with Christ. He has raised us, made us sit with him in Christ.
Expectation that you're going to discover prepared works this week and do it with all your might and strength for the glory of God. Share the peace one with another. Bless one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.